I would honestly say, from what I have not just researched but witnessed with the people over 100 that I had the pleasure of meeting with and talking to, I'd say it's about 90%. It's 90% of your attitude, and it's huge. It's absolutely huge. And we've seen this, not even with longevity studies, but we've seen this with cardiac studies, people that have heart attacks, and then which ones recover well, which ones recover not so well, and which ones don't make it at all. And it really does come down to attitude. So it's not just about, people living over, 90, 100 years old. It's really about our everyday life. And there's been other research that shows that when we're in a state of ingratitude, when we're in a state of victimization, we see this a lot in our world. It's everybody else's fault, and just unacceptance of any kind of responsibility. We now know that that actually has a physiological change to the body. What it does is it causes inflammation, chronic inflammation, and chronic inflammation is the root of all disease. So we look at heart attacks, we look at cancer, diabetes, all of that. These are all diseases and conditions that are linked back to inflammation.
Welcome to the Gratitude Podcast on www.georgeandbenta.com, where you'll hear a new story each week that will inspire more gratitude in your own life. Our mission is to inspire 100,000 people to discover how to feel gratitude and live a happy life through the amazing life stories of our successful guests and their actionable tips. And now, the host of our podcast, Georgian Benta.
Hi, Gratitude Seeker. Welcome to a new episode of the Gratitude Podcast. Today with us, we have an author of a very interesting book that in itself, in my opinion, is an amazing act of gratitude. It's called Love, Life, and Lucille, Lessons Learned from a Centenarian. Her name is Judy Gaiman, and she, while she's been writing a book about longevity, she met this person, Lucille Fleming, in Dallas. And from just talking and sharing a coffee, they got to become great friends. And I think it's a really wonderful and like movie-like story. Judy, welcome to the Gratitude Podcast.
Well, I am very grateful to be here with you on this show. Thank you so much for the invite.
My pleasure, my pleasure. So let us know a little bit more about you and also about the background. Like what got you to write the book, and let us know a little bit more about how you got to meet Lucille and what happened there?
Sure. Well, currently I'm the CEO at Executive Medicine of Texas. And one of the things that that I do in my job and have done even prior to being the CEO was I write books, and I work on a lot of the material that is presented, whether it's in a book or articles or our radio, past radio show, or our current podcast. I've done a lot of that. And one of the things I was working on, as you mentioned, was another book on longevity called Age to Perfection, How to Thrive to 100, Happy, Healthy, and Wise. And when I was doing that research, and there's a lot of research on how to live to be 100, there's something called the Blue Zones, and I mean, you could really do a deep dive. And that's what I was doing. I was doing this deep dive into, how do these people live to be 100? Why is some pockets in the world, there's more people that become centenarians than others? And then it just hit me, I really should just interview people over 100. I really want to know, why don't I go straight to the source? So I had a writing assistant named Emily, fabulous assistant, and asked her to find me people over 100. Now, I literally thought it was going to take her a very long time, and it didn't. And in her search, in her quest, she found a good handful within a fairly short period of time. but one of them was Lucille. And she said, you are not going to believe this lady. Like, you have to meet with her. You have to meet with her right away. I don't know what it is. I just feel like the two of you have got to meet. And like you mentioned, that first meeting was just the beginning of an incredible, incredible friendship.
Wow. That's amazing. And I think just this topic of how to live to 100 and how to live a long and actually happy life and a fulfilling life is very interesting. And I think it's also very interesting for many of our listeners. And from this point of view, what are some ideas, some things that you've seen at Lucille from a gratitude standpoint? Like, did you see her doing something specific that inspired you, for instance, to be more grateful?
Yeah, I think pretty much everything that Lucille did reminded me to be more grateful. You know, one of the things I noticed, not just in Lucille, but in all of the people who I interviewed over 100, is they did have that in common. They practiced gratitude on a regular basis. You know, there's an old saying that says, you know, are you gonna wake up and say, good Lord, it's morning? Or are you gonna wake up and say, good morning, Lord? You know, that those two ways you can wake up can change your day. And I think she always woke up with the latter. I mean, she always knew that when she got up that she was going to have a great day. She laid out her clothes the night before and just fully expecting that the next day, one, was going to happen, and two, that she was going to be able to meet somebody or do something or there was something that was going to come out of it. And we get so caught up today in just basically going through the motions, and we're plugging along, and we don't stop really to meet people, be interested in them, and really remember what life's about. And that was one thing that Lucille was just absolutely fascinating, as far as the way she could easily make friends. I mean, it was almost instantaneously. And when you read Love, Life, and Lucille, it's kind of a theme that as we went out, because we would go out to lunch all the time, these fabulous restaurants. She went out on a book tour with me. And as we went on these journeys, and in each chapter, we're meeting somebody, but she's also bringing out kind of the best in that person that we meet. And there's these kind of connections that we've gotten away from in our normal everyday lives. And she helped remind me to make those connections, be grateful for the people that step into your lives, take time to get to know them, not just for what they're there for, that purpose. And what I mean by that is, we could be in a restaurant and she would strike up a conversation with the waiter, and all of a sudden I'd be like, this is the most fascinating person I've ever met. And she had this way of finding the fascination in everybody. And it's kind of cool that through the book, there's these characters that are real life. These are people like that every day you're running into that you just don't know how incredibly interesting they are. And it really opens your eyes to the world just in a whole nother light.
Wow. That's amazing. And I think it's so wonderful to be able to see these beautiful things in people. And I think one of the things that sometimes is keeping us from seeing these things in other people is that we either compare or we tend to judge, to criticize one way or another. And I think from what you just said, what she isn't doing is these things, and what she is doing is being curious and also appreciative of that person. And I think that's a really beautiful combination.
It definitely was, and that's exactly it. It is being observant, and she was very observant, and she showed me how to notice things that sometimes we just glaze over. You know, we just kind of go through our day and do our thing, and we don't notice these things. And another thing that Lucille was really good at that she helped me with is deep conversation. A lot of times, I don't know if you're this way, but I know a lot of people I talked to told me that they were really amazed at how deep the book goes in conversation. They're like, I can't believe you would tell anybody this, or, you know, that you would have these conversations, or you'd put it in print. And suddenly when you do that, it's so freeing when you're just flat out honest. And even honest to the point of, you know, this isn't going to make me look that good, but it's the truth. And just accepting that about yourself, your thoughts, your realities, and kind of rolling with it. I think once we learn to accept some of our shortcomings and some of our thoughts and feelings that may not be as I call them, social media ready, because we always want to like look so good on social media, right? But yeah. if we're really honest with ourselves about who we are and where we are on the journey, then the journey gets easier and the journey tends to get better, because we're dealing in realities. We're not trying to measure up to something that maybe isn't there, isn't right. I don't know if you saw this, but Muhammad Ali's funeral, George Bush Jr. said something that was so profound. He said, we've got to stop comparing ourselves on our worst day to everyone else on their best. And I just thought, wow, that is just so true. And I think there's a lot of kind of what George W. Bush says in that sense, and things that he thinks in that way that remind me of Lucille.
Yeah. It's funny that this is what actually happens usually when we go on social media. We go on social media when we are bored or when we are tired and we just don't want to think, you know, and it's not usually when it's at our best. And what do we see? We see the highlights of other people's lives, and that combination isn't really that good for us.
Yeah, there's been some research on social media, and in it's the thing about friendship, right? How do we define friends? And I always say friends are not likes on social media. Friends are the people that you can call at any time, at your lowest moment, at your best moment. They're the people that you reach out to, or that reach out to you when it's not something you'd post on social media. And We've got to remember that the way the human brain works is that we see in 3D, and that we feel so deeply with our senses. And if we lose the touch of being face to face with people, being able to, you know, give them a hug, being able to see them in 3D, which is what we see when we're in person, then we actually change our brains. So, Even with some quarantining and social distancing, this is something that we're going to have to eventually break back out of, because right now that's kind of what most people have. They're relying on that social media. But once we can get out and really start shaking hands again, and, you know, attaboys and patting people on the back and seeing them in real life, it's going to actually help our mood. It's going to help our brains feel what we need to feel to be happy. All those dopamine and other feel good hormones actually come from interaction. We're wired to interact.
Yeah, definitely. It's one of the things that most of the guests on the gratitude podcast talk about, the fact that we are usually most grateful for people, for interactions with them. And like you were saying, for friends and family, people that we can call when we don't have moments that we can put on Instagram or on Facebook. And yeah, I think that's very important and very powerful. And like you, as you were saying about acceptance, when we get to be authentic and accept those things, we don't have to keep the lid on if the water is boiling all the time, and we have to be there and keep the lid on, and we just let it go. And that's a whole nother story and a really different way of us experiencing the world and experiencing life in general. And I'm sure that you and Lucille are these types of people. But what I also wanted to ask you, from your studies about this topic, I'm really curious if you've seen, other than the medical part, people that were able to get to these ages, if they had this perspective on life, this appreciation of life. Like, how much is it a medical condition or other things, and how much is our attitude of gratitude?
I would honestly say, from what I have not just researched but witnessed with the people over 100 that I had the pleasure of meeting with and talking to, I'd say it's about 90%. It's 90% of your attitude. And it's huge. It's absolutely huge. And we've seen this, you know, not even with longevity studies, but we've seen this with the cardiac studies, people that have heart attacks, and then which ones recover well, which ones recover not so well, and which ones don't make it at all. And it really does come down to attitude. So it's not just about, you know, people living over, you know, 90, 100 years old. It's really about our everyday life. And there's been other research that shows that when we're in a state of ingratitude, when we're in a state of victimization, you know, we see this a lot in our world, you know, it's everybody else's fault and just unacceptance of any kind of responsibility. We now know that that actually has a physiological change to the body. What it does is it causes inflammation, chronic inflammation. Mm-hmm. And chronic inflammation is the root of all disease. So we look at heart attacks, we look at cancer, diabetes, all of that. These are all diseases and conditions that are linked back to inflammation. And just having that good attitude, just staying grateful, being positive, being real with yourself, all of these things actually promote better health in general for everybody.
Wow. I really didn't expect the percentage to be that high. But from my own experience, I can definitely see the difference in the periods when I wasn't in such a good mood and I wasn't having a really good attitude, to when I am having that positive attitude, that grateful attitude. And indeed, it's really different. And it's fascinating how much this part of who we are matters. And I think it empowers us, because we can do something about it. Like, usually when you think about health, at least when I think about health, or what I think people in general think about health, they think that when they have a health issue, they are victims somehow. Like, this is happening to people. And when we look at things from the perspective that you just mentioned, we realize that it is in our power to change this and to be more resilient when it comes to this. And I think that's amazing. And I think it's one of the things that people get, that people that get to 100 actually know and practice, isn't it?
I definitely know that. When Lucille was in her 90s, she broke her femur. And the femur is the long bone in the leg, the big bone at the top and top of the leg. And by all accounts, that should be it, right? They all say it's all downhill after a hip or a major fracture when you're that old. And she went into a rehabilitation, and she had to do these, you know, physical therapy exercises and whatnot. And she told me this story that I'll never forget. She said she's in there, and there's several people in there. Some were in their 60s, some were in their 70s. And she's looking around, and a lot of them had hip replacements and things. They were in there for post-op physical therapy. And she noticed that a lot of them just had really bad attitudes. They were frustrated or mad, or they doomed themselves. This is it, you know, I'm never getting out of here, what have you. And she became their cheerleader. And she just said, I just told them, don't talk like that. And she'd push them a little further. And the physical therapist, you know, really loved her, right? Because she could get all these people motivated to do their physical therapy. And she got out of there way earlier than she should. She completed it. And she pulled a lot of people along with her. And the funny thing is, she said, if I would have known I was going to heal that good, I never would have given up my driver's license. But she, even when she was 100, she was wearing heels again. So,
oh my God.
Yeah. In really that attitude, that's what we're talking about, right? We're talking about having that gratitude, that attitude of gratitude, that perseverance. I think that is really key in all of us. You know, are we willing to persevere when the chips are down, when things don't look good, when by all accounts, there's no light at the end of the tunnel? If we're willing to say, if I don't see light, I'm just going to paddle faster until I do, that's when we're going to see good things happen. That's when we're going to really hold our head above the water and not drown. And Lucille was so good at that.
That's amazing. And that's so inspiring. And the way you tell the story, like I feel I'm there, and I can really experience how she was experiencing life, and how much positive energy she was able to spread in this world. That's really beautiful. I'm curious though, if you've ever talked about like really hard times, like maybe the world wars or other periods of time in which are really similar to what we are going through. Maybe you have some ideas that might help our listeners too go through this going through these times.
When Lucille came to America, and she came from Prince Edward Island, she came actually right during the Depression. She came to put herself through nursing school. That was her goal. Her sister was going through nursing school. She wanted to go through nursing school. So she was sponsored by an uncle, because back then you had to be sponsored by someone. And she really got on a train with her suitcase, a very small suitcase and a locket that was given to her when her best friend died her best friend died because there was a lot of influenza and plagues and things that were happening, and children died then. So it was nothing for a child to lose their best friend. So she had lost her childhood friend. The mother had given her locket. She came with a locket and a suitcase full of stuff. She came to the United States, and during the Depression, her memory, and she said it's like she could see it like it was just happening, was businessmen in the streets doing manual labor. And because they were businessmen, they only owned business clothes. So they were in business clothes. They were doing manual labor because they just needed and wanted a job. And she learned a lot from that. She learned that we're never too good to do something that we might consider scut, what she said, scut work. And we're never too good to pick ourselves up either, or too low to pick ourselves up. That when times get tough, things kind of even out. You kind of find out if you have grit. And if you have grit and you're willing to roll up your sleeves and dig in, never saying that's not my job, just dig in, do what needs to be done, it'll all work out. It'll all turn around. And she even said for those people that were out there doing manual labor in suits, it wasn't a forever thing. They actually got through that time and things returned to a new normal for them. Now, it took some time, but she would always say that if we just hang in there, things are going to change. And it reminds me of my own mother. My own mother always says, "This too shall pass." That's kind of a thing she does. And it's true. You know, whatever we're going through, it'll pass. There's an old saying, if you don't like the way things are, wait 3 days, because most people's perspective can change within 3 days.
That's so true. That's so true. And it's so inspiring knowing that, having that faith that this will pass, and also thinking about the fact that people like Lucille have been through similar situations and they managed to overcome them and to continue to have a happy life and a fulfilling life. And I think that's very important for us to be able to see the light at the end of the tunnel. And I'm very grateful that you've shared this story with us. And unfortunately, we're nearing the end of our time together. It's so fascinating that we could go for quite a while. And until the movie for your book will be released, where can our audience get the book?
Yeah, so the book, you can get it any book retailer. You can do pre-orders now, which I do recommend the pre-orders. And it's Love, Life, and Lucille. And you can, like I said, any retailer, you can pick it up on Amazon. I do ask that you rate and review the book, because that does help definitely pull it up on the ranks. And a lot of pre-orders going on now. I'd go ahead and pre-order if I was you. And yeah. And one thing we didn't mention is the foreword was written by Suzanne Summers. And the story of Lucille and myself and Suzanne Summers is actually in the book. But she was, I'm so grateful that she took the opportunity to write the foreword for the book as well. But it's jam-packed full of things that will make you laugh, things that will make you cry, maybe even make you a little angry. But I promise at the end, you're just going to love it.
Like I said, it really sounds like a good book, not just a good book, but also a really good movie. And maybe you didn't have the idea until now, but I would love to see a movie based on this. And I'm sure that
I have my dream cast. Trust me, I love it.
awesome. So before we end this, interview. Can you share with us some people that you're grateful for and why you're grateful for them?
Yeah, I'm absolutely grateful for my spouse. I am one of those people that is fortunate enough to be married to a really good person and amazing physician, Walter Gammon, and he has allowed me to grow in ways that just most people don't get the opportunity. And then also, you know, I'm grateful for my mom. I talk in the book about my parents, my mom and dad. I'm grateful for both of them, but I talk about how tough it was being the daughter of two workaholics. But I have to say, they also gave me my work ethic. So within everything that may be frustrating, there's always a silver lining. And without that work ethic, I certainly wouldn't be able to do the things I do today. I couldn't have held a full-time job and written the books I've written. And so there's a lot to be grateful for there.
That's amazing. Thank you so much for your time and for all of the amazing things that you have shared with us. Thank you.
My pleasure. And thank you for having such a needed podcast. We all need to be practicing a little more gratitude.
Hey, Gratitude Seeker, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this interview. I really appreciate it. And if you could think of one person that would also benefit from it, share it with them. It might actually be the inspiration that they need to make their day or maybe even their life much better. Thank you so much once again. This has been Georgian Benta. Don't forget to keep seeking and spreading gratitude.